Time to get our regular guest, Zoe Harcombe, on the show now. Researcher, author, blogger and public speaker in the field of diet and health. I'm delighted to welcome Zoe back. Morning!
Good morning, how are you?
Good. People have been asking where you've gone and they always look forward to when you come on because you talk such sense, Zoe.
Oh, that's very kind. I've been at conferences, actually. I've been all over the place in the first few months of this year, so I've been getting out to talk to people in person, but it's nice to do it over the radio. Just to reach more people there, I think.
Well, big old story this week. It was in all the news headlines, and this was a plan which was backed by Dame Sally Davis, who's England's chief medical officer. These proposals from the Institute for Public Policy Research, who basically have decided the way to tackle the UK's obesity epidemic. And some interesting things in there, Zoe.
There were. It was quite a hodgepodge, actually, and they did stray into other areas. So there were a couple of things on general health. So there was one on cigarettes, for example, and a proposal that the minimum age should be raised from 18 to 21, which I can't help thinking would be a pretty good thing. Mm-hmm. We've extended it once up already. But the stuff in the food arena was quite mixed, and I could argue some of it both ways, to be honest. So one of the headline-grabbing things was the idea. We've gone with cigarettes, keeping the cigarette theme. We've put cigarettes in plain-style packaging, and then they've put some pretty horrific images on cigarette packets.
Yeah.
So if you happen to walk past someone who's got a cigarette packet in their hand, that's the only time you'd seen it, but you'd see it because they're now behind screens in the supermarkets and newsagents as well.
So, but we weren't first to do that. I mean, I remember, it's got to be 20 years ago now in Thailand they did that, and it hasn't made a jot of difference there. The people are still smoking like a chimney.
Yes, I mean, the smoking rates have declined.
Yes.
But I think that's probably been because we've become more aware of smoking.
I think that's right.
Certainly in my parents' generation, it was thought to be cool and healthy and not really a problem. And we had all that expose on the cigarette companies where they seem to have withheld the absolute knowledge that it wasn't healthy for quite a long period of time.
Yeah,
and the parallels with smoking and obesity and sweets are actually so interesting because you've got a number of people, for example, Dr. Robert Lustig, working out of West Coast of the US, who will look at the playbook that the cigarette companies work to, and the sugar companies have been working to exactly the same playbook for such a long period of time. Make sure you get the advertising out there, make it look cool, make it look hip, make sure you've got the superstars of the world, whether it's David Beckham or Beyonce, advertising these fizzy drinks, being seen holding them, and of course they're slim, healthy, fabulous looking people, so people start associating drinking fizzy rubbish with looking slim and fabulous and being billionaires and zillionaires. And they deliberately want that association. It's why they sponsor things like the Olympic Games and sporting events. They want it to be seen to be cool and healthy to have sugary rubbish, but of course it's not. And the reality is that our children are now more obese than ever. And these plans are an attempt to try to do something about this problem that we find ourselves in.
Yeah, the plans are, on the face of it, quite good. But once you kind of delve into it a bit, there's quite a lot of questions that haven't been answered, aren't there? For example, the plain packaging thing, sweets, crisps and fizzy drinks in cigarette-style plain packaging, but not cakes or biscuits or cereals or ice cream or cereal bars.
Yeah, and it leaves you wondering, is this just the start? Do we start putting them on sweets? And there's a picture in the newspapers where it's got a dark green, unattractive package for something that says at the top, sweets, and then below it, it says can cause diabetes, obesity, and tooth decay. And then there's a nasty picture of a mouth where the teeth look pretty rotten, which is, again, mirroring that cigarette thing where they put pictures of tarred up lungs.
Yes.
Or somebody hooked up to a defibrillator or something, or some kind of breathing equipment in hospital. And it's all supposed to be quite shocking. But they have done interesting research where they put horrific adverts in magazines, and they've asked people to flick through the magazine and then to fill in a questionnaire at the end of the magazine.
Right.
And really interestingly, the non-smokers were the ones who noticed the smoking adverts and said, oh my goodness, I saw this advert. It was horrific. It just made me feel sick. And then the smokers just flicked through the magazine and they didn't even see the advert.
Wow, how interesting.
It is. It's really interesting. It's not reaching the people that you want it to reach. Now, I think the sweets thing could be a good idea because we know things like the Peppa Pig, the cartoon characters, are put on sweet packets, and the children are attracted to those, and they're put at children's height deliberately in the shop, which drives me nuts. That's something I'd love to stop. And of course, the child is going to be attracted to the attractive packaging, the colourful packaging, the cartoon packaging. So it'd be really interesting to do a trial and take children into a sweet shop where you've got this plain packaging on the shelves and see if the same pest of power happens.
Yeah.
If mum is still getting, or dad is still getting their coattail tugged with the little child saying, hey, mummy, daddy, can I have one of these? This looks really nice. So that would be easy to test.
Yes. Yeah, the other biggie on this is because this was a big deal, wasn't it? The sugar tax. And they're thinking of extending the sugar tax to sweets and cakes and milkshakes and high sugar yogurt drinks. Has the sugar tax had any effect?
It has, in that it has raised some revenue. Before they put in the sugar tax, they estimated how much revenue they thought it would make.
Right.
Now, it's seen as a sign of success if it actually generates less revenue than they expected, because what that means is people are buying fewer of the products that end up getting taxed at the higher rate.
Okay.
But what actually happened was that the fake food manufacturers, as you would expect, reformulated their products to try to avoid the sugar tax.
Yeah.
So they would put in slightly less sugar, or they would put in sweetener. And I've got as many concerns about sweeteners, artificial sweeteners, as I have about sugar. In fact, in some ways, sugar is actually a more natural product than some of these artificial sweeteners. And if you Google dangers of artificial sweeteners, or aspartame particularly, you'll find that industry-funded studies say that aspartame is okay, and non-industry-funded studies raise some serious concerns about these artificial products that we're putting into our body without knowing the impact that they can have. So that's one where, for me, I argued for a sugar tax in my 2010 obesity book. I could debate that one now, because I think there's the danger that they'll start putting, they've talked about a fat tax. I think they're so ignorant when it comes to healthy food, the public bodies, that they could start putting it on the wrong things. And another one of the measures that was put forward is, can we ban advertising of certain foods? And we've had the situation in London where you can have adverts for a well-known brand of Kentucky Fried Chicken, if I'm allowed to say
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
On the tube in London, they've banned unhealthy adverts, but you can't advertise for a farm shop that sells dairy products and eggs.
What?
Because, of course, cheese and dairy products are seen as high in fat and potentially high in salt as well.
Right.
And they've got this stupid idea that fat and salt are bad, when in fact it's only sugar that's bad.
Yeah, and so, you've talked about this many times on the show, and we had an interesting caller this morning, Peter, who called at the beginning of the show, and he was saying the problem with this is that the whole thing is an addiction, isn't it? It's people are now addicted, and that's a hard thing to break.
It is, and then are you penalising the people who have an addiction? Now, that can be an argument for a tax, because we have a tax on tobacco, a very hefty tax on tobacco. We have a hefty tax on alcohol. These are seen as non-essentials. These are seen as things that we should be trying to stop people having too much of for their own health. And also, because they're seen as non-essential, they're a good target for government taxation. And to that extent, you could say sugar is absolutely non-essential. It's not healthy. Put it in the same category as alcohol and tobacco and tax it. And I guess I'm getting to the point of, if you're going to tax it out of existence. Absolutely.
Yes.
Hammer it. You know, I talked in my book about putting 500% maybe on a bag of sweets that is nothing but sugar.
Yeah.
Or artificial sweeteners. Make a bag of such nonsense. Instead of a couple of pounds, make it £10, make it £20.
Yeah.
Make it absolutely prohibitive so that parents aren't buying it for children. Protect our children in that way. But I'm not sure that putting on 10% here or there with a target of sugar is going to help, because they're just going to find their way around it. People are still going to be able to afford it. It's not going to stop behavior. It stops people smoking when cigarettes become so expensive that even if you're addicted, you decide to put the money into a stop smoking course or hypnotherapy instead.
Yes.
Because it's so worth stopping. I think with tinkering with sugar, I'd love to hammer sugar, but they've got to get out of going after fat and salt, because these are life vital things that we die without. They're just so ignorant when it comes to what nutrition is all about.
And on the subject of sugar, one of the other things they're planning is free fruit for school children.
You've got to laugh, haven't you? I mean, fruit is just sugar. It's sugar with a few vitamins, a couple of minerals, nowhere near as many as you might think. It really is just sugar. And then they say, well, there's a difference between free sugar and added sugar. Not to the body, there isn't. The body has absolutely no idea where the sugar came from. Yeah. Yes, if you have a packet of sweets, the body just recognises, oh, there's some sucrose and from fructose and glucose that I've got to deal with. But fruit sugar is also sucrose and a combination of glucose and fructose. Mm. It's pretty much the same. So the body metabolises the little bit of protein that comes in, the tiny amount. There's a little bit of fibre which it can't digest, so that just goes out the other end. There's a couple of nutrients that it can extract, but essentially it's just sugar. Yeah. And they've got to realise that sugar is sugar in whatever form it comes in and stop giving confusing messages to parents.
And that's quite, I mean, that's a big, we've talked about this before, and that was a big shock to some people who heard the show when you were on that, you know, that fruit is sugar.
Oh, if you really want to upset people on Twitter, there are a number of different ways. One is to question a calorie is a calorie. they want you to believe that a calorie of sugar is exactly the same as a calorie of liver, which you don't even start on that one. So that will upset them. And another thing is to criticise fruit or fibre. Yeah. In any way whatsoever, criticise fruit or fibre, and the internet lights up like a Daily Mail up and down arrow. It's like, guys, I'm sorry, there's harsh truths here. Fruit is just sugar with a little bit of nutrition, but not as much as you'd think.
Yeah.
Go away and prove me wrong. Come back with some fabulous nutrient profile that looks like liver from an apple. It isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's this halo effect around fruit.
Well, and fruit juices, of course, as well. Oh, I've got, you know, freshly squeezed orange juice. I drank 4 pints of it today. I'm very healthy.
The sugar in that, I dread to think. I just dread to think.
Yeah, yeah.
Just catastrophic. And again, Dr. Robert Lustig, he's done so much in the area of sugar. I think he was one of the ones to say, I could sit you down and give you 10 oranges and you'd probably give up after 2 or 3. I could sit you down and give you the juice from 10 oranges and you'd be gone in about 30 seconds. It's just too easy to take in sugar when we juice it. It's delicious. I look at it on breakfast buffets when I'm away at hotels. Yeah. I said, oh, that looks so nice, but it's just sweeties.
Oh, my goodness me. A couple of other points here. A ban on fast food outlets. Please tell me this is a mistake. Within 160 metres of school gates.
Yeah, I don't know how they came up with 160. Why? It might be that's as far as children can walk nowadays because they're so unfit. But I've often said this. We've had studies on takeaways done, particularly in the UK. There's a team in the UK that seems really keen to study the impact of takeaways on how close it is to your home, how close it is to your school.
Right.
And particularly when home is also now completely irrelevant because we have delivery services.
Yeah.
You don't have to walk anywhere.
Kind of to leave your sofa, do you really? Order it on your sofa and then somebody comes to the door with it.
Exactly. You can be sat in a park and someone will deliver it to you if they're confident that you will actually be there or they've taken your money already so they don't care. But the school thing I often point out is crazy because when you look at the school's own menu, it is an absolute heap of junk because, of course, it follows the low-fat, high-carbohydrate standard advice that the government requires it to follow. So you'll have things like pizza, and they call them potato wedges. I mean, they're chips, for goodness sake. Or fish in a breadcrumb. It's fish in batter with chips. It's not fish breadcrumbed with potato wedges. I mean, for goodness sake. You know, they'll be calling tomato ketchup, tomato salsa next. Stop lying to us. They have chocolate chip cookies for pudding. It's like, that's a biscuit. Come on. Or lemon drizzle. That's cake.
Oh, funny.
We are not that stupid. Stop trying to pull the wool over our eyes.
Yeah. Did Jamie Oliver's campaign do any good? I mean, everyone remembers this big deal about turkey Twizzlers. Was that all just kind of a flash in the pan?
Oh, do you know what? You know, his empire folded quite recently.
Yeah.
All his restaurants went into administration.
Yep.
And the number one theme on Twitter was, that's what happens when you try to take on our turkey Twizzler.
Oh, dear, bless him.
So I think it did good. I like Jamie. I think his heart is in the right place. I think it educated people. And I think parents that were open to the idea that pizza isn't the best lunch had their eyes opened, which is great. And the parents who were stuffing turkey Twizzlers and chips under the school gates, which was photographed in the media, they're going to do that anyway. I'm sorry, but they're the ones who are probably going to smoke and probably not give their healthiest habits to their children, and we almost give up on those people. We want to hit the 90% who really would do the right thing if they were given the right information.
Yeah, yeah. The last one here, I have to confess, I'm completely perplexed by the concept of this now. Supermarkets to be ordered, not asked, ordered to provide cookery lessons for shoppers. Please explain that, Zoe.
Well, you know, it's insane, isn't it? I mean, you just have to look at any retail report to see the impact that Amazon has had on the retail sector. They're now talking about getting into the grocery market, which could be wiping out the supermarket.
Yeah.
People already get home delivery, so they're not even going into the supermarket, where the supermarket wants them to go because they want them to make that impulse purchase.
Yes.
That's what impulse purchase is all about. So poor supermarkets are getting hammered absolutely all round, and then the government is talking about requiring them to provide cookery lessons. Well, how's that going to work? How's the health and safety going to work?
You
might have, I don't know, 100 people who get through the till in even quite a small supermarket every half an hour or something.
Yeah.
How are they all supposed to go and have their cookery lessons? Why should they be asked to do this? They're not educated. I mean, some of it is just nuts.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
Of course, the basic line is that there's some good ideas here, but they're still not just getting the simplest idea, which is to just go out there and say to people, eat real food. I mean, that is just so easy. Why don't you do the easy thing instead of trying to turn the supermarkets into cookery schools?
Well, these plans are backed by Dame Sally Davis, England's chief medical officer, who wants them to form part of her anti-obesity review. So I guess she wields quite a bit of power. Do you think that these will become more than plans and actually be real?
Do you know, I don't know, actually, because she's due to leave this role. Last time I checked, she's been in that role for quite some time.
Right.
And she does attract lots of criticism from the food industry and from more liberal people who don't like the nanny state in any way. And every time she comes out with something, they'll be saying, oh, nanny state, what's the latest thing? But last time I heard, she was off to be head of one of the Cambridge University colleges. So,
okay.
I don't know who her successor will be or when there will be a successor. They plan for these roles quite a way in advance. So I think it would very much depend on the chief medical officer that comes in, the new incumbent, whenever that might be.
Interesting. As always, Zoe, a pleasure to talk to you. People can find more information on this subject and many, many others on your superb website, zoeharcombe.com. That's Harcombe with an E on the end of it. And we'll hopefully speak to you next month at the same time.
Brilliant. That'd be lovely. I'm not travelling.
Lovely. Take care, Zoe. Bye-bye.